Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne-Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Get some headlines this hour, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. Dolphins will get back on the practice field today as they gear up for their Week 10 matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Is the line double digits yet?
It was 9.5 yesterday. Let me look. Oh, boy.
Thank God you didn't take that deal yesterday, Leroy.
Still,
you could have got me.
Still 9.5. Still
good
nine.
Deal.
The Browns-Jets, remember? I said if we could have ran it back. If you had said yes, you could have gotten me.
Yeah.
The Dolphins still 9.5 point dogs, Leroy, plus 425 on the money line. Let me see. Anybody even close to that this week? Detroit is a 8.5-point road favorite against the Commanders, who obviously don't have their quarterback. But other than that.
And half their defense.
What about Denver versus the Raiders?
Denver versus.
That's got to be like.
Is that Thursday night?
Six and a half?
That's 9.5 as well. I skipped that one. I'm sorry. That was on Thursday night.
Remember a few years ago, we had like the 500-mile rule. That was awesome.
You think that Stephen Ross, like, you remember, like, do you feel like he does have to be sick on some level, right? Because people, I don't know what to make of him. His ownership is stained because they have had no real success. They have obviously built a lot of stuff. But the stuff that he's even tried to, like, wink, make happen has blown up in his face. And the Sean Payton thing is another one, right? Like, allegedly the reason that he was going to get rid of Brian Flores, we all thought it was for Harbaugh. But he said, I'm not taking Harbaugh from Michigan. He wanted to go get Sean Payton, and now you got Sean Payton, got his team 7-2 after a couple of years there. You know, we're a couple of years removed from Mike McDaniel dropping 70 on their ass. Could have broken the record.
You regret that 70 points, don't you?
No. In fact, I regret that he didn't break the record. It would have been the only thing you had. At least I got the record. He tried to be fake humble with it, Vlad. Should have just broken the record when you had it.
Karma
but
got him.
He's got to be looking at this, and he goes, are you kidding me? I'm sitting here, and I'm looking around. My coach, he talks too much. You know, he's gotten figured out by the league in like 2 seconds. And this Sean Payton, I wanted him the whole time in the shadows, and I got busted tampering. I keep getting busted tampering. Now, I lost a pick for tampering.
Stop tampering.
I have a question.
I got my plane caught.
Who was calling the plays in San Francisco?
Who was calling the play? Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan was never Mike McDaniel. I don't understand why people. Okay.
No, he was the run game coordinator. This is the first time he's called plays.
Okay, all right.
First time he's called plays with his with his Cheesecake Factory menu there.
All right,
Mike McDaniel.
So,
who do you think called plays in Kansas City, Leroy?
We got another Philbin situation.
Yeah, who do you think calls plays in Kansas City?
I mean. Coach,
right? But you know who got Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator,
right?
All these guys get the offensive coordinator, they get the position, and then they, you know, the team is successful, and then they get a head coaching job, and then you come to realize, oh, the head guy was really the one that's calling all the plays.
He didn't interview with anybody else. He was the only interview the Dolphins it was Mike McDaniel.
Right.
You know, he was.
I mean, but that's kind of how I think in the future, that would be a question that I would ask. Right?
Did you call plays?
Are you calling plays, or is your?
I'm sure he was asked. I'm sure he said, but I'm sure. You know what? I bet you Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan praised him up to you know the high heavens. Yeah. You know that he was.
Well, you always
integral
want to
part.
Praise you guys. Like, it makes your tree look better.
You want a tree to look good. Do you think he's proud of that tree right now?
Except for this, no. He's the bad branch in that tree.
Right. Well, the past Shanahan tree.
No, I'm talking about the
Kyle Shanahan
this
tree.
This is the Kyle Shanahan tree. This is not the Mike Shanahan.
Why does Kyle Shanahan?
The Mike Shanahan tree is good.
How come Kyle Shanahan's aged like a president?
Because, you know.
Like every time he takes off the hat, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what's happened to you?
But look at it.
I mean.
You still think he's dreaming about 28-3? Hey, like, what's going on there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When you build the whole offense around CMC and he hurt all the time, that'll
Well, when you coach a team that's hurt all the time, all your best players are hurt. Yeah, that's going to stress you. But look at the Kyle Shanahan tree. Sean McVay. Kevin O'Connell. Mike McDaniel. D'Amico Ryan and Robert Saleh as well. It's mostly good guys. Saleh's bad and McDaniel. The AFC East trees.
But did his branch just get too ripe? Because the tree did look good. And then you just look at that branch and you're just like,
no, you got to clip it. You just got to clip it.
What happened over
there? You know what happened? Somebody said, why do I got to pick off this tree? I can just pick a piece of fruit off the ground. Right?
But he made that tree look so good 2 years ago. That tree was like, it was bountiful.
Yeah.
Is O'Connell his tree or does McVay get to claim O'Connell?
Nice. If you're from the
get to count as your tree?
Because it starts and then it branches, and so it branches again.
You're right.
But the main
root. You're the main root. Yeah, you're the root of the tree.
Right.
McDaniel's got no tree.
What?
He's got no tree.
No.
Nobody's come out of here, and you're just like, wow.
Well, Weaver. If Weaver. You know,
Weaver's a hired gun. Is he really part of the tree?
Yeah.
Like, would he count as part of the tree? I don't think so.
If he gets a head coaching job and he came from here, he goes on Mike McDaniel's tree.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
Would he be part of McDaniel's or would he be Harbaugh's tree?
Because they didn't all start.
Well, that's why I'm asking. That's like, when do you get to be part of somebody's tree?
You're part of a tree once you get a coaching job leaving the person you were with.
Hold on, though. But like, let's say Vic Fangio.
He was already a head coach. He was already a head coach before.
He doesn't count as part of McDaniel's tree?
Because he was a head coach before.
Would he count as Sirianni's tree if he got a job?
No, he was a head coach before them guys.
So then you're not part. That's the only time you're a tree.
Yeah, you're a part of the tree that you were with before.
So let's say Mike McDaniel gets fired.
Yes.
Then he becomes the offensive coordinator in Detroit.
Yes.
Does a refurbished Mike McDaniel become part of the Man Campbell tree, or is he always part of the Shanahan tree?
Want me to give you a perfect example? The Ole Miss coach.
Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
What tree is he on? Nick Saban's
Pete Carroll.
Tree?
He's a Pete Carroll.
Right.
He's not Lane.
He's like not even like a tree. He's like a road hippie plant. A rogue hippie plant that's just growing on its own.
Pete or
Lane Kiffin? Both, actually.
Lane Kiffin. They do have a lot of similarities, just one knows how to talk.
Who? You don't think Pete knows how to talk?
No, between Lane Kiffin and Mike McDaniel.
Oh.
They both have similar, but.
Nah. I'd rather have a beer with Lane than have a beer. Well, I'd rather go and talk with Lane than hang out with Mike.
Cody says the Jags DC, Campanelli. Does he count as McDaniel's tree? I guess so. He left here.
No, because he would get the joke coaching job under.
So he just
Duvall.
Gets to be part of. So he's Liam Cohen's tree right now?
He's Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen's got a tree?
Yes. Yes.
The Duvall guy?
Duvall.
Wow. Wasn't expecting.
Yeah. How about Dabo and Venables?
Doof.
You know who has an awesome tree, believe it or not? Bill Belichick.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's got a famously terrible tree.
He's got the worst tree of all time.
No. Dude, go look at the
No, you're talking about that Browns tree. We're talking about his Patriots.
Man, get out of here
his
with that
Patriots tree is rancid.
What are you talking about?
All right, it's a great great coaches came out of that Browns tree, but it wasn't like they were successful in the NFL.
Yeah, his Browns tree is very respectable, but his Patriots tree.
The only reason why that ended short is because the team moved. Believe me when I tell you.
Bill Belichick's Patriots tree is like a weed garden.
And,
it's
and
terrible.
Nick Saban left before that.
He's got – no, I understand. But, like, the Patriots tree is –
The worst.
Who's the dude with the beard that he made his offensive coordinator, is the defensive coordinator?
Patricia.
Oh. He's had his tree burned to the ground by Patricia and McDaniels.
He even tried to go somewhere and get
Bill
replanted.
Bill O'Brien,
yeah. Charlie Bill Weiss. O'Brien.
They've all burned his tree. Yeah, it's nasty. You know who has a great tree? Bill Parcells. Sean Payton, Bill Belichick.
That's a good tree. That's a good tree.
That's a good tree. But he doesn't have a better tree than Walsh.
No, Bill Walsh got the greatest tree of all time.
Yeah.
He's got a forest.
I mean, he's got a national park.
You know who doesn't have a tree right now? Spo. He doesn't really have a tree.
No, because they don't want to give
Quinny a job. The only guy he's ever gotten to come off and get an opportunity is Fizdale. And just because Marc Gasol was a sensitive baby, that tree – remember when Fizdale first got the gig, he had that speech against the Spurs. We're like, oh, Fizz. And no one's giving Spo's guys a chance.
He had Knicks. The New York job, didn't he?
He had the Knicks job. That didn't go great.
For a job last year.
Yeah, he's on – I forget whose staff he's on right now. He's on somebody's staff. He's back in the fold.
Riles got a great tree.
Oh, Riles.
Riles got a great
tree. He's got the Van Gundys.
He got Spo.
Just need to put Juwan Howard. Yeah, Juwan Howard at Michigan had a little flair there.
Yep.
And then he did he want to fight boosters? What the hell happened with Juwan Howard?
Juwan Howard. The Chicago came out of him. That's what happened. You forget that man's from Chicago.
Think about this. He was in two of the most watched or the best 30 for 30s. The Fab Five and the one about the basketball player out of Chicago. I forgot his name.
The Fab Five was good.
Ben Simmons? Yeah. No, it's not Ben Simmons.
It's yeah.
Ben. Oh, my God. Hold on.
Yeah, but he was a part of both of those stories.
Ben Watson? No, it's not Watson.
Not Watson.
Schmiedman says, a doc's so good he forgot the name. Take a break. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem Podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Let's take you guys up until 2 here on the program. You got Heat basketball back tonight, 9 o'clock. The Heat will take on the Denver Nuggets, and that will get going at 9, pre-Heat with Solana and Tommy Tighe, 7:45. The Heat, a long time since they won a regular season game there. Long time. I think 2016, I think, was what Anthony Chang tweeted yesterday. They won game 2. Oh, man, I got to tell you. I come out of that feeling I had after game 2. I thought we were on our way, baby. I thought we were on our – we smoked them. Duncan Robinson's mean mugging, and this Michael Malone is – I don't know what's going on with our guys. I came into that game 3. Peacocking. I thought we were ready to go top hats and monocles. Turns out we were just the butler. we handed off the soiree over to Joker and Jamal Murray. I mean, they throttled us. And just like no juice in those games. Remember the one where Joker got in foul trouble and I was like, this is our window. It wasn't.
And then Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray took his win. He's like, shut that window right on the Heat.
Is that the last time you guys got past the first round?
Dude, last time we got past the first round, haven't had a win
at home
since game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Since they went up 3-0. Eight straight, I think we've lost at home in the playoffs. Brutal, dude. Brutal. But I'm liking this year so far. I like how things are flowing right now. I'm excited about this game. Different Heat, different Spo. Someone was asking me on Twitter today, they think you think Jakachonis is going to play? I said, I don't know. Spo's a wild card this year. This is a different Eric Spoelstra, okay? He, first of all, brought in an offensive coordinator. And I'm like, gooseys. Love this, okay? Shout out to Noah LaRoche. Is he part of the tree? If we poached him off another tree? I think he's part of Spo's tree now, even though he's not technically on the staff. He's a consultant. Is a consultant part of the tree?
No, consultant's not part of the tree.
All right, well, until you get a quarter zip, Noah, you're not on the tree. But I appreciate everything you've brought, all the ideas you've brought to the Heat. But this, Vlad, there's also been, this was a big tell that Spo was different this year. He's challenging up the wazoo. This dude never challenged. He's challenging all the time now. Eric Spoelstra would look at his players in disgust in past years if they asked for a challenge. And then he's got to look over to Chris Quinn, and Chris Quinn's got to look at the video intern, and they're like, should we challenge? And that intern's probably so scared because he's like, you know, Spo is a film guy. I can't even imagine how Spo treats these newfangled film guys with their digital editing. Because I always had that when I was coming up as a broadcast student. We had to do this linear editing, which was pointless because we weren't going to be Scorsese. But they wanted us to have the experience. And so the guy's like, you're going to do linear editing. So you got to stick the stupid film together to make the film, to make your movie.
Reel to reel?
Reel to reel, dude. Reel to reel. And it was a waste of time. Because you want to know why? Because in the next room, guess what came up? Computers. And we can make real movies. I can't even imagine. Could you imagine being a video intern for Eric Spoelstra in today's day and age with all the software there is? He's like, you better give me every piece of film because I used to sit in the dungeon. And like, they're probably like, Coach Spo, look at all the film I got for you. And he goes, thanks. Throws it in the garbage.
He probably doesn't like that the kids probably do it so quickly. Oh. He had to take forever.
Could you imagine? That's probably why he goes, you better have every player from every angle because I used to sit in Pat Riley's dungeon, sitting there, coffee after coffee with ramen, just trying to put together tape for the Hornets game.
Coffee and ramen is not a good mix.
So I couldn't even imagine. But that's the past years. This is a different Spo. This Spo, I don't know. There's something about him. He's looser. Now, he's still being very hard on Khalil Ware. You know, he's not letting people skate. But, like, even just you see him, they're posting social media videos of him more. He's let his hair down a little bit. I don't know. And now,
I mean, he is the coach of the world.
And that's true. That is true. He is the national coach. And now, people ask me, he says, well, do you think Jakachonis is going to play tonight? And I'm like, instinct would say, absolutely not. No shot. No shot in hell. But I don't know. Eric Spoelstra might be like, you know what? Let's get weird. Let's go into this Denver game, you know, with Craig Adelman, their new coach. Where is that Michael Malone? Is he on ESPN? Where the hell is he?
Yeah, Michael Malone's on ESPN. Yeah. Looking very slick and scruffy.
I wonder if he's going to call people out. He seems like the type of guy. Like I feel like he'd be a Rex Ryan type.
I think he was going to do that, and I think he might have gotten a talk to.
Really?
Yeah, because I've seen him, and he wasn't acting very Michael Malone. He was acting very laid back, very.
I didn't care for him, and maybe it's because the Heat always lost to him. But I didn't care for him because he was always taking little pot shots.
He takes shots at everyone.
We got our own culture. All right, dude.
No. He took shots at the Lakers.
How did they fire him? Like, because, that's crazy. I know why they fired him. But, like, could you imagine this day and age, lad, that a championship, yeah. we talk about ring protection, doesn't
there's
exist
no
in the NFL. In the NBA, it doesn't exist.
No, there's no more ring protection.
It's crazy.
You have to have multiple rings to have ring protection.
Yep.
And that only protects you for, like, another 2 years.
Having a ring in the NBA, you might as well have gotten it out of the Cracker Jack box if you're a coach. It means nothing.
Dude, coach of the year. In all sports. It's yep. not even the NBA. Mostly in the NBAs, but in all sports. Ed Orgeron won the title. 2 years later, he's gone.
He wasn't behaving very well. I mean,
you know what? Listen. Not to say, I'm not advocating doing bad things, but if you win a title and you're consistently successful
in your hometown,
I might let you slide on a couple of things as long as it's nothing criminal and you know, nasty.
So I think there's no chance that
KJ plays,
that he plays, but I don't know.
But here's the thing.
I don't know.
Here's the reason why I don't think he's gonna play. Spo's favorite son has been balling.
Drew Smith has been playing great.
Drew has been like, it's got to the point where I'm about to text Frog, but I'm like, hey man,
he's not gonna admit this.
Drew Smith is kind of nice.
He's a good player. Like, you know, he's got a new sweat when he cut that hair, like, and he got a new number, and he's got a different swag to him. He's a pest on defense. He's not scared to shoot the ball.
And he's got a good handle. I didn't know he had a handle like that. The what? Look, I know Chris Paul's 40, but what he did to Chris Paul Monday night, it was like, nah, you got to retire now, Chris. You can't be letting guys like this. And it was like, oh, no, this is consistent. He's doing this to everybody now. So they might have a little something.
Crowder the GOAT says him ripping Luka was gold. He did. He ripped Luka, got a basket. He's been really good. So I don't know. Like, I don't think he deserves to sit on his ass. Drew Smith's been too good. I would say this is his window. I'm telling you his window right now. His window is Pelle Larsen comes out, two fouls, 2 minutes against Jamal Murray. That's how he gets in the game.
So, but let me ask you this. Once Tyler comes, he's probably going to South Dakota, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
So they're just going to – so he – basically, he has to show out now.
Yep.
In the minutes that is given to him so that he may be able – to stay on the roster a little bit longer than being sent to Sioux Falls?
I think so. I mean, unless he just takes to this new offense free-flowing, like, immediately. But they've already had a little bit of turnover problems. That's kind of his big crux, is people are like, yeah, turnovers. But he's a big kid. I tell you one thing. He's a little got that Pella as far as, like, he's physical, tries to defend real hard. So I think Spo kind of likes that from him.
I see. There's two things that were like. Right now, everybody's role is established, is mm-hmm. defined, right? What happens when Boy Wonder comes?
I don't know,
because that's the same thing that's going on in L.A. with the Lakers.
LeBron.
Yeah, everybody's role is kind of defined without Bron being there. Once Bron comes, then we're gonna see. Is he gonna have to fit? You know,
Bron's not fitting for anybody. He's LeBron
right,
James.
So is Tyler gonna have to fit for the Heat? Because Bam, like you said, Bam is taking over. Like,
yeah.
Bam, this is. Bam,
I feel like it's Bam's team.
It's definitely Bam's
team. This is
team.
Bam's team. He's just got, like, he's got such a confidence about him and the way that he's playing right now. I don't know. Man, I saw this. Asia Wilson was on the Jennifer Hudson show, and she was fawning over Bam. She loves him. Wow.
Yeah.
Loves him. Good for those two. Two scoops of adorable.
Just, you know.
But this guy, I don't know. He's just got a different confidence. I think he loves Norman Powell and he loves Andrew Wiggins. I do think that Tyler can come in here and not mess it up, because I think Tyler is a great shooter. I think that he does move the ball pretty well. He's done a great job of improving on that. I don't think this is set up for him to mess it up. I don't think so. I know that he loves using screens, and that's always been a thing. And this is the Heat are doing the fewest of those in the league. But I also think that Tyler will take an open shot and can kill some guys. Now, the thing I'm more worried about is defensively. You know, that's always a thing. But, you know, that's always going to be a thing. That's always going to be a thing. So we'll see.
Because Pella right now is your – he's like your – what's the – T.J. McConnell.
He is T.J. McConnell. He's Swedish T.J. McConnell.
He's Swedish T.J. McConnell. Like, he is the spark plug off the bench.
Yep.
He's got his role defined.
Yep.
And he wants to be a superstar in that role. You got that. The key for this team is that big 7-footer.
Yes.
Because if he takes off, if he finally gets it or gets to where Spo wants him to be, this team is scary.
Both of those young bigs need to step it up, but if they do, who knows, dude? All right, we'll take a break. Mix things up on the mixed bag next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem Podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sorry, Vlad. I'm trying to reset some things in the studio here.
Like, I fix some things. I hear you, but I don't see you.
So I had to apologize for the delay there, but I'm getting situated. We were trying to fix a certain thing with some tech issues when I got in here, you know. Okay. So I'm just trying to get those things underway and get those things all settled. But get to the mixed bag here. So Paul Maurice, Panthers lose yesterday. Give up 5 unanswered goals to the Ducks, which I really do not care for Joel Quenneville. And people say, yeah, Tobin, you know, rotten scandal cover-up. No, because of how he treated Sergei Bobrovsky. That's why. I mean, the other stuff, also bad, but you were mean to my guy, and so I didn't like that. And the first game, Bob didn't play. Tarasov played, and this was Bob's chance, and I mean, it was rebound city. I mean, they were banging in rebound after rebound. That kid Gauthier for them had a hat trick. He had a breakaway right off the bat. I was like, Panthers giving up a ton of breakaways, dude. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is not the Paul Maurice style that I've come to know and love. And I think that they're trying to figure some things out. I get it. But here was Paul Maurice on the loss last night to Anaheim.
Where you play, you're expected to be the best team. Does that make it, when you have adversity, make it more difficult for the players to respond?
Everybody has factors that they deal with at the start of each year. And we know what ours are. Some of them are earned, and we're proud of them. So we expect to get everybody's best. It's just a factor.
Everywhere you play, you're expected to be the best team.
I understand. I understand they're going to get everybody's best. And look, the Ducks have been surprisingly good this year. You know, Quenneville's got them playing well, all hate aside. You know, Marchand continues to ball out. I mean, the guy's puck out. I mean, he continues to just be excellent. Rodriguez had a really nice game.
What's going on, Sam, and both Sams? Two Sams.
Mr. Conn Smythe has not played up to snuff. Like, we can say that. He has not played up to snuff. And then you're expecting a lot from the young Finns. Etu got going yesterday. He had a nice goal. Really great pass by Evan Rodriguez to set him up. But I don't know, Vlad. I think it's just I think you can only take so many hits without expecting there's going to be inconsistency. And that's the problem, is they're very inconsistent right now when they used to be. I don't know. They used to be just so – you could always rely on these Panthers again. And the thing that's been strange about them this year, they get – used to be, as the game went on, the Panthers were more dangerous, and they've just had so much let up in them.
Maybe because they're tired.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
I can't rule it out.
If you've played hockey.
It's been a lot of hockey.
30 out of the last 36 months. Yeah, the last 3 years, you played hockey 30 out of the last 36 months. You played to the last game of the year, and you only have a short time to recover. Yeah, it's going to take you.
And I think also, man, you can't just lose a guy like Barkov. Like, I just...
Or Chucky.
Yes, but they were at least used to Chucky last year. Like, that one, I think, is like, and then, I don't feel like they've had a full Matthew Tkachuk in 2 years.
But if you lose one, you would like to have the other one there.
Right.
When you lose both,
it's a killer.
Yeah.
It's a killer. They're two of your highest paid players. And it's just, I mean, you legitimately couldn't have asked for a better start from Marchand. He's been amazing, but we'll see. We'll see if we can get this thing all put together by the time we get there. But it's frustrating right now. Asia Wilson, yesterday, she went on the Jennifer Hudson Show, which, I mean, I honestly got to say, this is probably the first interview I've ever watched, because I usually only see from the Jennifer Hudson Show everybody doing the studio walk on Twitter, which those are always viral. That's kind of her bit. But I got to say, bang up show. Really enjoyed it. And Asia Wilson goes on there, and she was asked about Bam Adebayo, and this is what she had to say about her boyfriend.
Oh, listen, I love when you mention your man at the College Basketball Hall of Fame speech. Yes. You know, what does it mean to have him as a support system?
It's amazing. Like, Bam, he's a gem. He's a gem. He's a star, obviously, in his own world. But when it comes to us, like, he's always showing up. His unwavering support. I mean, he was flying in and out of town, and he always constantly shows up for me. And I'm just grateful to have a partner that is just along with the ride, like, just there through the times where I can't be Asia Wilson all the time. Right. He picks me up. And so I'm always grateful for his support. It's gentle. It's kind. And I love that. He allows me to just kind of let my guard down, because I feel like I have to be on so much. But Bam allows me just to be the kid, the crazy, goofy girl that I am, and I'm appreciative of him.
Yes, you deserve that, because you do so much for us all.
Wow.
Now,
wow. Those two are in love.
Oh, yeah.
They're in love.
Oh, no, she's, yeah. Yeah. Wow. When the girl wants to showcase you and just, you know, let everybody know that she's taken and you're the reason why she's taken, yeah, you're in love, buddy.
Man.
Yeah.
Good for them.
They might get married on the court.
Perhaps. Well, one marriage that may be ending.
Oh, no.
The Grizzlies and John Morant. Kendrick Perkins, he was on the Road Tripping podcast, and he says, I got a place where John Morant should go play. This is what Perkins said.
Organizations who are whispering behind their coaches' back and not having their coaches' back, their teams are trash. So, again, I feel like this relationship has run its course. I do think it's time for Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies to part ways.
Oof.
I do think it's only one option for Ja Morant, that one direction he needs to go. He needs that air exposure, Pat Riley, Miami Heat coach.
Whoa. I don't think Richard Jefferson liked that
very
much.
No, that was Channing Frye.
Was that Channing Frye?
That was Channing Frye.
Well, we'll see, dude. I'm sure I saw that in the Ja Morant monitoring. I see Timberwolves and I see Kings.
Time out.
That's out there.
Time out. Timberwolves?
Mm-hmm.
Don't threaten me with a good time, bro.
Him
and Ant-Man together in the backcourt?
Wow. what a duo.
Oh, wow.
That is going to be the most electrifying, most immature backcourt of all time.
Absolutely. The things they do on the court will be extraordinary. The things they do off the court will be extraordinarily bad, but, you know, extraordinarily bad, but nonetheless, it will be exciting.
I think they're in a really tough spot, the Grizzlies, because I understand this guy's the face of your franchise. He really this probably feels like they're just going to fire the coach, right? Like, I know they just fired the coach, but is he not their Giannis? Like, Giannis, they're firing coaches left and right. Doesn't this feel like Tuomas Iasola or Iasola, whatever his name is? Doesn't this feel, Vlad, like he's just going to get the axe? They're not going to really trade Ja Morant. I just can't see him doing it.
All right. You're talking about Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Memphis, who basically adopted. I mean, that is their son.
Right. We're going to pick the Finnish coach?
You going to pick the Finnish coach? Coach over Ja Morant.
I don't think so, dude. I don't know.
There's a reason why people go to Beale Street. He's one of them.
Yeah.
He might be the main reason.
Yeah. And I was hearing on the Zach Lowe podcast, he had some guy from Memphis, and he said that they had just gotten, like, approved for new arena stuff and all that.
That's because of him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think hopefully this guy can call up his guy Barkov and say, hey, you want me to come hang out? Because I don't think I'm going to be sticking around Memphis very long.
Here's the thing. If Ja doesn't like him, I don't know what Jaren Jackson. If your two stars don't like the coach, that coach is probably
gonna you're cooked. Go. Yeah, it's a players' league still. Like if you, unless you have the cachet of an Eric Spoelstra, which I guess is Perk's point. Like if you're gonna go to a place that he's gonna listen to, there's been rumblings that Ja's been interested in Miami. You know, no surprise. And I think somebody of him like probably looks at the Heat and they're like, oh, you know, I could go there and be the face of the Heat.
I'm gonna tell you this. I can't believe I'm saying this, just to get Tobin happy.
Hmm?
Not to say that you are the same type of player, but their swag, I mean, their games are almost kind of similar. Ja needs a Larry Brown the way Allen Iverson needed, and Spo could be that Larry Brown for Ja.
Just to bring the best out of him.
Bring the best out of him and bring him together for the team. But I don't think it will be – because, I mean, if you listen to Iverson now talks how great – you know, how he loves Larry Brown because he needed Larry Brown at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spo would be that for Ja. Like, Ja needs a Spo. He needs a Pat Riley. I know everybody's going to talk about the culture. Listen, we work here. We all know about the culture. But sometimes a guy needs culture, and he needs this culture.
And the other question is, though, like, what do you trade for him? Like, do you give up the house for Ja Morant? Because they got – I mean, like, I feel like you'd be reasonably – in with an unreasonable front office. They just got 4 first-round picks for Desmond Bane.
Unfortunately, I would have to give up one of your prized possessions. You would have to give him draft picks and Nico.
I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. I know Nico. I get yelled at every night on Twitter.
Wait a minute.
I get yelled at every – because I just
– wait a minute.
I am worried about a guy like Ja Morant giving up the house for him because of his size. I'm worried now at the dunks and the drives. Oh, my God.
And a go-to guy
and being the go-to guy at the end. I mean, yeah. And then perfect with one of the shooters, whoever they keep, Norm or Tyler. It feels like it's a
– him
it's
and Norm would be dangerous.
I don't know if I can give up Jovic, dude.
He's athletic enough to where he'll play defense with the Heat. The Heat will use his athleticism. They'll try to hide him, but he's too athletic not to be getting steals and like fast breaks and all that. I'm just saying.
But he did hate this offense. But maybe it was just the coach. I don't know. I mean, I know it was a different coach, but he did not like this the whole style. So.
Hey, man. All I know is that whatever style that coach coaches, team score points.
Man.
Memphis was never one of the lowest scoring teams or mid, you know, in the middle of the pack. They were always one of the top 10 scoring teams in the league.
So this past weekend, I was on the call for Dirty Boxing.
Nice.
With my guy Jason Anik and Andre Berto. The co-main event, you had Gable Steveson win in the main event, even though I think I messed up his name the entire time. But that's okay.
Is he the former wrestler?
Yes, okay. Gold medalist.
And he was on WWE?
He was in WWE. Yeah. He tried out for the Bills.
Okay.
But none of that stuff stuck. And great dude. Super humble. His coaching staff around him. The non-John Jones. Obviously, he's got John Jones in his corner. That's really cool. But he's also he's also been like, you know, they've been kind of planning this the whole time that this could be a back thing. You know, his coaches from Minnesota thought that.
Right.
So he wins in the main event, 1:15. The other guy who won was Brian Battle.
Okay.
And Brian Battle had a tumultuous ending to his UFC career because he kept missing weight. And then he came to Dirty Boxing, and then he won in Dirty Boxing. And then, but he kind of buzzsawed. So they're like, hey, you want somebody a little tougher? So he takes on this guy, Nick Coring, who is known as Killshot. He's in the Nate Diaz squad, the whole boys from Stockton. And he gives some pretty heavy shots early on, but Brian Battle comes back and then knocks him out.
Oh, no.
And then he was asked about this by the great Jason Anik, and he was asked about what this whole journey has been like. And I don't know if he rehearsed this speech. I don't know if he thought of this off the top of his head. But this guy gave a speech out of the movies after the win. Here it was on Dirty Boxing 4.
Talked a lot about your story over the last couple months and this story you're building. We absolutely love having you here. Have you perhaps found a home here at Dirty Boxing?
Brother, wherever they have me, I'll take it. But on that note, I would like to say something. I know I'm in a southern place. A lot of people here grew up in church. And one of the things I learned growing up in church is God will never give you more than you can bear. All right? Now, that don't mean you're not going to fail. That doesn't mean you're not going to fall flat on your face in front of the entire planet. All right? But if you have the strength to get back up, if you have the courage to keep on moving, that burden doesn't get lighter. Your legs get stronger. All right? Your back gets bigger. Your shoulders get more broad. Your resolve gets more grounded. The burden doesn't
Hallelujah.
Get lighter. You get better. And I stand before you today, a better man. The best man, baby. This is the Butcher Show, baby.
Man, the second coming again. Ladies and gentlemen, the Butcher, Brian Battle.
Wow. And I mean.
Oh, yeah, that was full WWE.
That was Goosey's, dude. Wow.
That was full WWE. He definitely worked on that.
He had to have worked on that, right? I asked him after. I was like, practice that? He goes, he swears it was off the dome.
No, but the fact, yeah, you got to play it off because he knows that you liked it, the fact that you're asking him the question. So he's got to play it off like he, you know, it was straight from the dome. Nah, he practiced that, bro.
That was gorgeous.
You could tell when the inflection, there were certain words that, you know, he made sure to emphasize. When you're doing that, that means you worked on it. You practiced. But it was good. It was motivating.
It was motivating. All right, we'll take a break. Leroy should be back from hobnobbing with Jay Crawford. And Mike McDaniel has spoken to the media today. We're going to do a little bit of that. More to get to back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Go behind the scenes of one of TV's most watched true crime series with the 48 Hours Postmortem podcast, where correspondents and producers take you inside each case. Every Monday, listen to a new episode of 48 Hours and then join me, 48 Hours correspondent Anne Marie Green, every Tuesday for a new episode of Postmortem. Follow and listen to 48 Hours on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.